Good morning, everyone. Looking this morning at our recent lesson, Living with Shiva, Lesson 8. Yamas and Niyamas. Religion teaches us how to become better people, how to live as spiritual beings on this earth. This happens through living virtuously, following the natural and essential guidelines of Dharma. For Hindus, these guidelines are recorded in the Yamas and Niyamas, ancient scriptural injunctions for all aspects of human thought, attitude, and behavior. Very interesting point there, thought, attitude, and behavior. Normally, when we think about being virtuous, we think about behavior, what we do. And of course, that is most visible aspect of it, but Gurudeva is indicating here that our behavior is based on our attitudes, which are based on our thoughts. So, in Hinduism, it's not enough just to behave as we should virtuously, but we need to think that way as well and have attitudes that reflect the right beliefs. So it's a combination of how we think, the attitudes we have based on our beliefs and our behavior that we need to encompass. In Indian spiritual life, these Vedic restraints and observances are built into the character of children from a very early age. I thought it was interesting article we did in Hinduism Today a few issues ago. On the interviewing the young adults in India and their concepts about Hinduism. I found it interesting in a number of ways, and one of the ways was the summary by the author. And to her own surprise, she concluded that because of the way she was raised and what she was exposed to, she was more Hindu than she realized. Just kind of rubbed off, you know, in growing up. So it's an interesting point here. These Vedic restraints and observances are built into the character of children from a very early age, so definitely true. For adults who have been subjected to opposite behavioral patterns, these guidelines may seem to be like commandments. However, even they can, with great dedication and effort, remold their character and create the foundation necessary for a sustained spiritual life. That's a very important point in Gurudeva's teachings, remold the character. Sometimes individuals are very reluctant to remold. Say something like, well, I'm an angry person. That's the way I am. What can I do about it? That's just the way I am. I mean, I was born that way. I can't possibly change it. But Gurudeva is pointing out that character can be remolded with great dedication and effort, but it can be done. So we aren't limited to being the person we currently are. We can become a better person through dedication and effort. So Through following the yamas and niyamas, we cultivate our refined spiritual being while keeping the instinctive nature in check. We lift ourselves into the consciousness of the higher chakras of love, compassion, intelligence, and bliss, and naturally invoke the blessings of the divine devas and mahadevas. Then Gurudeva defines yama. Yama means reining in or control. Yamas include such injunctions as non-injury, non-stealing, moderation in eating, which harnesses the base instinctive nature. Oh, and my keynote on this, I think the graphic I chose was the dog on the leash. The harness, you know, the dog is pulling on the leash and there's the person is holding the leash. Dog wants to do something that the person doesn't want the dog to do, so it's like a leash on our instinctive nature. So we need to keep the leash on and harness the instinctive nature. Niyama, literally unleashing, indicates the expression of refined soul qualities through such disciplines as charity, contentment, and incantation. Next paragraph is very important. It is true that bliss comes from meditation, and it is true that higher consciousness is the heritage of all mankind. However, the 10 restraints and their corresponding practices are necessary to maintain bliss consciousness, as well as all of the good feelings toward oneself and others attainable in any incarnation. These restraints and practices build character. Character is the foundation for spiritual unfoldment. One of the beauties of Gurudeva's teachings is the breadth of the teaching, which reflects the breadth of Hinduism. I remember visiting a Swami, South India, once. He was talking about his guru's teachings and was explaining that his guru was answering the question, why is Hinduism so complicated, so complex? Why can't it be simpler? And the answer his guru gave was, because it provides a path for every individual. It's a bit like having all the disciplines of mathematics put together. Starting, you learn how to add and subtract, and you learn how to multiply and divide, and so on. You go all the way up through advanced mathematics. If you put them all together, it's complex, right? But you don't learn them all together. You learn one thing at a time in a natural sequence, and therefore it's not overwhelming. Oh, Hinduism has a path for those at the beginning of the path. It has a practices for those at the end of the path, and they're all there. So that can be described as being complex or too complex. But it's not complex, it's just comprehensive, such as mathematics is comprehensive. You only have to draw on that which you need at the present time. You don't have to think about the whole thing. So likewise with Hinduism and with Gurudeva's teachings, we just draw on what we need at this time, and the rest we don't have to have in our mind. So character is the foundation for spiritual unfoldment, is what we really need to have in place. Any structure is only as strong as its foundation. And of course, there's always room for improvement, which is the point Gurudeva made before, remolding the character. There's always the opportunity to improve even further. The fact is, the higher we go, the lower we can fall. The top chakras spin fast. The lowest one available to us spins even faster. The platform of character must be built within our lifestyle to maintain the total contentment needed to persevere on the path. These great rishis saw the frailty of human nature and gave these guidelines or disciplines to make it strong. They said, strive. Let's strive to not hurt others, to be truthful, and honor all the rest of the virtues they outlined. And Gurudeva lists the 10 yamas. We won't go through them. One of the beauties of Gurudeva's teachings and living with Shiva is the detailed explanation of each yama and niyama. I've never seen that anywhere else in such great depth. You know, he goes into each one in really great detail and explains it beautifully. And then the other point he makes, which is the one I'm going to lead into, is the relationship between the yamas and niyamas, how they interrelate. We must remember that the yamas are restraints, 10 clues as to what forces to restrain and how to restrain them. Some people are better than others at accomplishing this, depending on their prabdha karmas. But the effort in trying is the important thing. The practices niyamas, on the other hand, are progressive according to the perfection of the restraints. Comparing the yamas to the niyamas, we find the restraint of non-injury makes it possible to practice remorse. So he's comparing the top one of each one, first yama to the first niyama. Truthfulness, second yama, brings on the state of santosha, contentment, second niyama. And the third yama, non-stealing, must be perfected before the third niyama, giving without any thought of reward, is even possible. Purity brings faith in God, gods, and guru. Kshama, patience, is the foundation for Ishvara Pujana, worship, as is dhriti, steadfastness, the foundation for Siddhanta Shravana. The yama of compassion definitely brings cognition. Honesty, renouncing deception and all wrongdoing, is the foundation for virata, taking sacred vows and faithfully fulfilling them. Moderate appetite is where yoga begins, and vegetarianism is essential before the practice of japa can reap its true benefit in one's life. Purity in body, mind, and speech is the foundation and the protection for all austerities. Then the last point groups the niyamas into the first five and the second five. First five practices, niyamas, are tools to keep working with yourself, to keep trying within the five major areas they outline. Then he lists them: remorse, contentment, giving, faith, and worship of the Lord. If one wants to progress further, he does not have to take on a guru to study scriptures or develop a spiritual will or intellect that would come naturally, nor to take simple viratas to chant Om as japa and to perform certain sadhanas and penance. These are all available. But a guru naturally comes into one's life when the last five yamas, steadfastness, compassion, honesty, a moderate appetite, and purity, give rise to the last five niyamas. Scriptural study, cognition, vows, japa, and austerity. We can see that the last five practices are taken on two levels, guru involvement and community and personal involvement. So that's an interesting point, that to go into these last five niyamas, when you do it under a guru's guidance, it's a much deeper experience than otherwise. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.